I'm joined now by Ian Traherne. Ian is a talented photographer from Essex who also happens to be deaf and blind. Now, Ian suffered with feelings of isolation for most of his life, but, in his own words, is now able to take part in the world due to his love of photography. So if you could take us back to the start, please, Ian, where did you grow up? When did your sight and hearing problems develop? And when did you first get interested in photography?
Well, I'm from Essex, just outside Southend. I live in a little village called Botsford. Yeah, I was born profoundly deaf, so I thought that was going to be my only issue that I had to contend with in life, you know, going to hospitals and being prodded around. But I could deal with it, but I did experience a lot of isolation, you know, from a very early age due to not being able to hear very well. Yeah, and so look, when I was younger, I spent a lot of time drawing, sketching, always, you know, in my own little world.
And do you think this was partly due to feeling isolated?
Yeah, definitely. I could already sense it, you know, as far as back as, you know, a young 8-year-old child. I knew I was very different. But, you know, I went to a normal primary school, a regular primary school. My parents wanted me to sort of try and fit in with, you know, a regular school. I was treated, you know, well and as normal as possible. But when I got to about the age of 14, you know, I was very much one of these kids that liked to be out and, you know, riding bikes and hanging out with friends. I remember being out one evening and was just very confused to why my friend could see where they were going in this dark particular place, and I literally couldn't see anything. And my mind was just sort of questioning that. I've always had a very analytical mind, and I started to question it. And so I was taken to an optician's, and they told me that I had something seriously wrong with my eyes and that I would need to go to the hospital to have them checked out properly.
And it was there you would be diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa.
Yeah, and I can still remember that day as clear as crystal, really. I mean, I remember the doctor sort of telling me that, you know, this is what's happening, and I could feel my life just completely, you know, changing. And it was very confusing because, you know, when I was diagnosed back in the early 90s, you know, this is pre-internet, the information was very small, you know, so blindness wasn't really, say, a well-documented thing. In my mind, it wasn't, you know, I didn't see it on TV, you know, it wasn't something that you saw on a regular basis. And still to this day, blind people are still cast aside in anything mainstream, whether it's music, TV. So it's kind of like we're invisible.
Even at such a young, tender age, Ian, were you worried you were going to be made an outcast?
Yeah, even more so. And to be honest, though I was told I had the condition, part of me was very much like, well, yeah, I know I've got the condition, but I'm still going to be acting as a normal sighted person. And I hate saying the word normal, a regular sighted person. And because I didn't really have the support or sort of encouragement to sort of really embrace the blindness, it was something that wasn't really talked about in my family, and, you know, it was just never really something at the forefront.
For anyone that doesn't know about retinitis pigmentosa, or RP, can you explain to them what it does to the eye, please, and how it affected your vision?
Yeah, retina pigmentosa type 2, which I later learned is connected with my hearing. It is the retina that has all these tiny little mirrors, which is the thing that creates your eyesight, which is ironically very much like a camera. It's like a sensor in the camera. And basically all my senses have been dying over the last 20 odd years. So my eyesight has very slowly, at a snail's pace, just been getting darker and darker and leaving me with a very small central window of sight.
You mentioned that your eyesight was slowly deteriorating, but that wouldn't stop you from finding employment. You would leave school, and I believe you went on to work in a printing firm, was it, Ian?
Yeah, well, my first job when I left school was I was a carpenter for about 3-4 years. That was my first job. And then I went on to printing, sign company industry, which I spent quite a lot of time there.
Unfortunately, though, that was also the place where you would find out that your eyes had deteriorated to such an extent that you wouldn't be able to work there anymore. That must have been devastating.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I was driving. I had a car. You know, I was driving, you know, from the age of 17.
Were you registered partially sighted at this point?
No, I told him I had an eye condition, but you've got to remember, this is back in the 90s. Regulations were a lot different to what they are now. Like I say, I spent time working in a job that I probably shouldn't have been working in. I was using machinery that, you know, I shouldn't have been using. But I didn't really feel like I could tell anyone, because I knew in my mind that once I started telling people that I was blind or losing my eyesight, everything was going to change and it was going to be in a direction that I wasn't comfortable with or didn't want to be that person.
Did you have a support network at home of sorts? Was there anyone to talk to at all?
No, my home lawyer, you know, I won't go into it too much, but my home lawyer wasn't particularly great in that aspect. You know, my blindness, even still to this day, it's not really sort of talked about, and I don't really have much to do with my family, unfortunately. And that's one thing I've learned over the years, that family support and encouragement is a massive key player in being able to help that person get through it. If you don't have that support, you're going to be stuck for a long time, which I was. I was stuck for a long time trying to figure it out by myself, trying to learn how to go forward, how to come out as a blind person.
And from losing your job, things would quickly go downhill.
Yeah, my life completely, even more so, just turned upside down. I lost my life, I lost my flat, I was forced into bankruptcy.
And that culminated in you having a nervous breakdown?
Having a nervous breakdown, yeah. But before I left my job, I just started sort of taking up photography. Because like I say, I've always been creative in some way, I guess. And it was really that I was out one night and somebody was photographing an open mic night, and I saw this camera, Canon camera, and I saw these pictures and I was just like, oh my God, they're amazing. I was just really excited about what you could achieve. So I was like, yeah, I really want to, you know, investigate this further. And that's how I started, really.
So how did things progress from there?
Well, I mean, at this point, I was still struggling to, you know, come out as a blind person. I wasn't using a white cane. There was a lot of male pride involved. And also, I wasn't really comfortable, you know, about being a different person. I didn't really know how to handle it. I didn't really know, you know, who to go to, who could advise me. But I did an exhibition with Sense, Deafblind UK, back around then, 2012. And that was really my first time sort of coming out as a blind person. And, you know, and I was still very adamant in my head, no, no, I'm not blind. You know, I still wanted to retain my identity. That was my big thing.
And did the charity Sense then push you towards this exhibition?
Yeah, they did. A guy called Graham Nolan, who sort of organised the exhibition, and that was really my first sort of time. There was a BBC article at that point. And this is interesting because they did this article and it said deafblind photographer. And I can tell you, when that came out, I absolutely hated that
association.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like now, it doesn't bother me, but it was such early stages of my sort of eventual coming out as a blind person. But I remember I didn't like that label. But after, you know, doing different things, like different projects, working with, you know, blind people and, you know, learning more about it and, you know, learning more about myself, it started to slowly change.
If we could talk about the photography, you seem to have your own style. There's a lot of black and white portraits in there.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to do black and white for a couple of reasons. One, I kind of prefer it just that little bit more than colour. But also, I'm colourblind. So when it comes to sort of editing colour photos, it always seems to be a lot more difficult. Whereas with black and white imagery, I can work with shadow, lighting, you know, contrast. I find it a lot easier to work with, but I kind of generally like black and white a lot more, really.
And you've photographed some famous faces as well. Band of Brothers actor Mark Warren being one. How did that come about?
One of my little part-time side jobs that I had when I was working in the printing firm was that I was always very involved with the Southend arts, you know, arts movement in Southend, and they had this film festival that's been going for the last 6-7 years. And my friend and I, Nicky Cornish, we worked together as photographers, like budding, enthusiastic amateur photographers. And we just got involved and sort of also wanted to learn the trade of photography, and were fortunate to be able to meet all these guests and actors and actresses that came to the film festival, because we were the official photographers for the film festival. So we had access, you know, to these people. And, you know, and I was really an amateur when I was taking these photos, but it really gave me a lot of confidence, you know, to be able to talk with sort of well-known people. And I really enjoyed it, but I've not been able to do the film festival for the last 2-3 years because of my breakdown. You know, I wasn't really in a stable mental state, so I kind of had to back off, which, I'm going to be honest, it really upsets me still, because I miss doing it a lot. You know, I worked with a great team, and I was a part of something, because I spent a lot of time being isolated, and being able to be involved with something was really fantastic. But I did find it really stressful, because I was still struggling at that point.
It must have been great having Sense UK believing in you as well, and somebody supporting you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, they're still to this day, they're very, you know, supportive. And, you know, I haven't been involved as much as I'd like to be, just purely from a mental health perspective, really, because I've been dealing with all this stuff. You know, I've had a few supportive people, but a lot of it I had to deal, you know, with by myself. And it was just really, really difficult.
I read that now you're feeling better about yourself, Ian, that you would like to help other blind people to be more visible. Can you explain what you mean by that, please?
I mean, that is really now become my main mission in life, really, is to start, you know, bringing blind people into mainstream world, whether it's, you know, TV, radio, music, whatever, like everything.
It shows how far you've come yourself, Ian, from being isolated to now pushing for blind people to be more visible. It says a lot about how you've developed yourself over the last few years.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate that. It's been a real slog. You know, I'm very comfortable to sort of say that, you know, I know that a lot of people get uncomfortable when I talk about having a nervous breakdown, but I feel that if I don't say these things, I don't think it's going to help other people understand their situation. If I sort of start saying, oh yeah, it's wonderful, you know, it's all brilliant, and everyone's being, well, I don't feel comfortable about using the white cane, there must be something wrong with me. And I want to make them feel that, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You have every right to feel how you feel, because these things actually exist. And I now realise that is what really prohibited my growth. You know, if I was growing up thinking, you know, there was blind people everywhere, it would make me feel less abnormal.
What does the future hold for you then?
Well, the future, I think from what's been happening over the last sort of few years, and sort of realising, you know, what I want to push and achieve, is definitely campaigning to see more of the white cane in the commercial world. And I just recently joined a very unique casting agency called Zebedee Management, which specialises with people that have disabilities and challenges. And I've been trying to find a casting agency that had the same goal, and they are challenging, you know, commercial world into getting people with different disabilities and challenges into mainstream TV. So I would like to be able to basically push the white cane into mainstream world, really.
Do you plan to continue with the photography?
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be continuing with photography, but I think what's going to happen now is going to be much more selective work, more sort of involved with projects that highlight disabilities, you know, sort of like, for instance, I've just been approached to photograph a protest in London at the end of the month, and it's about disability cuts and children, and they're taking it to court and they want me to photograph it. So I kind of want to be a bit more selective in what I'm doing, But, you know, I am still going to carry on. There's no question about that.
If anyone wants to check out your portfolio, how can they do so?
Well, they can go online. They can go to iantreherne.co.uk. There's a selection of photography on there. And there will be eventually YouTube videos talking about blindness sort of in depth, really, sharing my experiences with the white cane and coming out as a blind person. Yeah, so I'm going to be doing more of that.
Ian Treherne, thanks for sharing your story with us today on RNIB Connect Radio, and good luck for the future.
Thank you. You're welcome.